Hey, I'm Dave. Welcome to my shop. I'm Dave Plummer, a retired software engineer from Microsoft going back to the MS-DOS and Windows 95 days. And today, we're diving into something I think you're going to find incredibly cool. How to set up and run your very own ChatGPT-style AI right at home on your own machine. That's right, we're talking about hosting a powerful large language model on your own machine at home, completely under your private control, no cloud services needed, no monthly fees or guardrails. And while you can run it even on a modest laptop while sitting on an airplane, we're going to significantly accelerate things by showing you how it performs on a top-tier Dell Threadripper workstation, a 96-core beast featuring 512 gigabytes of RAM and dual NVIDIA Ada 6000 GPUs, one step above the 4090, that are rocking a whopping 96 gigabytes of video memory. Now, if you've ever played around with ChatGPT or something similar online, you've probably already realized how incredible these systems are at answering questions, writing and debugging code, and generating content, and even holding full conversations. But what if you didn't have to rely on somebody else's server to do all that? What if you could have all that power right there on your own computer, running locally and fully private? We're going to go through why this matters, and what kind of hardware you'll need, and of course, how to get it all set up. Whether you're just curious about the tech behind it, concerned about privacy, or looking to save on API costs, you're going to want to stick around because by the end of the episode, you'll know exactly how to set up your own AI at home, complete with a ChatGPT-style UI, multiple models, context files, and much more. Now, the first thing you're going to need is a computer. There's an old saying that applies to hot rodding cars as equally as it does to setting up a modern AI server. Speed costs money, kid. How fast do you want to go? And the reality is, you do not need fancy hardware to run it. But it will be a great deal faster with it. Where you put the budget versus speed slider is a personal decision, but the TLDR is that you can run it on modest hardware. But the better hardware that you have, the faster it will run. You don't even need a GPU, though an NVIDIA card will significantly speed things up. And to prove my point, we're going to run it on a serious workstation, the Dell Threadripper workstation. This machine is on loan from Dell, and it features the Threadripper Pro 7995WX CPU with 96 cores and 192 threads of processing power. Better yet, as I mentioned before, it features dual NVIDIA A6000 cards, or Ada 6000 cards, that retail for about $30,000 a pair. The CPU is also worth $10,000 on its own, so by the time you add RAM and storage, this machine is pushing some $50,000. Before we set it up, let's take a look at a few of the reasons that you might wish to do so. The first is the data privacy and security aspect. With a self-hosted AI, your data stays yours. No information ever gets sent to the third-party servers, so sensitive conversations or private data remain fully secure. This is a significant selling point, especially with increasing concerns over data privacy and potential data breaches. At this point, ChatGPT knows more about me than I'm really comfortable with, but that's kind of the price of entry for using it. There are still certain questions and topics that I'm not comfortable having part of my public profile, and so in those cases, a private AI is a big win. There may also be cases where you're not comfortable uploading your context documents, like perhaps your proprietary source code, to the public AI. With a private AI, you can give it access to all of your documents, and that information stays private on your local machine. There are also significant cost savings, particularly at higher volumes. ChatGPT Plus is only something like $20 a month, but if you're doing a lot of queries above the basic limits or using their API, the costs can add up quickly. Since the AI we'll be demoing is roughly equivalent to the power of ChatGPT 4.0, it's a perfectly acceptable free substitute. Running your own AI allows for a level of customization not possible with the external services. You can fine-tune the models to cater to your specific needs, integrate them into your workflows, and even train the AI on your proprietary datasets or documents for hyper-relevant responses. For developers or businesses, this level of control can be a game-changer. The fact that it runs local also means that it can run offline. A self-hosted AI can function without an internet connection, making it useful in scenarios where web access is unreliable or unavailable, such as airplanes, remote locations, research facilities, or situations requiring data autonomy like defense and healthcare. Depending on your hardware, running your AI locally can significantly reduce the latency in responding to queries. Rather than waiting for a round trip to the cloud servers and back, the AI can respond immediately, making interactions faster, which is especially useful for high-performance applications like gaming, real-time customer support, or interactive conversations. And for the folks interested in the AI space, setting up your own AI is a powerful learning opportunity. It provides hands-on experience with machine learning frameworks, fine-tuning models, working with GPUs, and handling complex systems. Valuable skills in today's tech landscape. Plus, it makes it trivial to test drive dozens of different models and select the one that's best for your situation. And finally, maybe it's an ASD thing like watching the washing machine, but I just love to see fast hardware working hard. The Dell workstation has been doing a ton of headless work, like compiling a Linux kernel, which it can do in 19 seconds, but I'm not really a gamer, so the poor GPUs were sitting idle most of the time. And that's when it came to me. I could run AI on them. For some reason, it tickles me in a special way when you see the GPU meters spike to 100% on both A6000s. There are two technologies we're going to take advantage of today, which are Linux and Docker. But never fear, we're going to do it all on top of Windows, so whether you're running Windows or Linux on your machine, I've got you covered. The first thing we need to do is to make sure your system is set up to support WSL2. You'll need Windows 10 version 1903 or later, or Windows 11, which comes with WSL2 out of the box. If you're running Windows 10 and not sure what version you have, hit the Windows key plus R, type WinVir, and hit Enter. If you see a version number of the 1903, you're good to go. Now, to install WSL2, you need to enable a couple of features in Windows. First, we're going to turn on WSL itself and then enable the virtual machine platform, which is required for WSL2 to run. Here's the command you need to run in PowerShell. Make sure you run PowerShell as an administrator and then run WSL-install. That'll take a few minutes, and then with those features enabled, the next step is to install the actual Linux kernel update package that's needed for WSL2. Microsoft provides this as a download, and I'll put a link to it in the video description, and thankfully it's easy to get. Open your browser and head to Microsoft's website, search for WSL2 Linux kernel update patch for x64 machines, and download and install that file. Once the kernel is installed, it's time to set WSL2 as your default version. And that way, whenever you install a new Linux distribution, it will default to running under WSL2 instead of WSL1. You can set that with the following command. WSL --set --default --version 2. Now we're cooking with gas. At this point, you've got WSL2 set up and ready to go, but you'll still need to install a Linux distribution. My recommendation is to start with Ubuntu since it's one of the most popular and well-supported Linux distributions for WSL. You can grab it directly from the Microsoft Store, or you can install it from PowerShell with WSL --install --d Ubuntu. Once it's done downloading, launch Ubuntu from the Start menu, and it'll go through a brief install process where it sets up your new user account and password for the Linux environment, and that's it. You've now got a full Linux environment running alongside Windows. You can open up your Linux terminal anytime from the Start menu or from any folder by typing WSL in the address bar of File Explorer. From there, you can install software, run Linux commands, or even develop full-scale applications right within your Windows system. Now that our system is ready, we can install Ollama, which is the AI system that we'll be using to run the models. To do so, we launch the install script directly from the Ollama website using the curl command and piping it into a command shell. The command looks something like curl-fssl, and then the URL piped into sh. Once it's installed, all we need to do to start things is to run the Ollama serve command, Ollama serve. Now with the server running, we'll open another command shell and install our first model, which will be Llama 3.1. To install a model, you pull it using Ollama, like so. Ollama pull Llama 3.1:latest. This is a 5 GB download, so depending on your internet speed, it can take some time to complete, but it will display status for you as it goes. Once you've pulled the model, you're ready to run it. To see the models that have been installed, if any, you can run Ollama list. This will produce a list of installed models, and you should see the Llama 3.1 model that we just pulled. To run the model, we use the run command with the model name, Ollama run Llama 3.1:latest. That will give us a console interface to the large language model where we can use it much as you would ChatGPT on its homepage. You can see how quickly the model responds. You'd be hard-pressed to find an online model that works this quickly. Now granted, this is a smaller model with 8 billion parameters, but even so, it produces useful answers at an amazing clip, at least on this machine. Let's upgrade our experience significantly by taking advantage of OpenWebUI, which will give us a web-based user interface that looks a surprising amount like ChatGPT. Now we could enlist in the whole project right from GitHub, but we don't need to do that. In fact, we don't need to install it at all. All we need is Docker on our system, and we can simply run a container that's pre-built for us. The easiest way to install Docker on Linux is with the snap command, sudo snap install docker. With Docker installed, we can then run the container we need to launch the WebUI. This will pull the OpenWebUI container, which is a couple of gigabytes again on its own, so it can also take a few minutes to complete, depending on your internet speed. Now, the Docker command line is fairly long and complicated, so check the video description so that you can copy and paste it and maybe stick it in a batch file for future use. Either way, once you launch it, it will set up the web UI on port 3000 of your machine. So to access it, browse to the machine name followed by a colon and the number 3000, such as localhost colon 3000. Now, when you first launch it, you will need to create an account, and you will then be the administrator of the system as the first account. By default, you can share your URL with others, but they will also have to create an account, and then you will have to approve them in the admin settings control panel. Interacting with the UI is very much like using ChatGPT. The familiar list of previous chats can be found in the left-hand sidebar, and you can even upload files to it as context for your discussions with the AI. OpenWeb UI is designed to offer flexibility and power when working with various AI models, making it a versatile tool for users. One of the most important things to understand is how to select the right model for your task. When you first open the interface, you'll see a list of models, each tailored for different applications, from natural language processing to image generation. The interface makes this process intuitive, allowing you to switch between models depending on what you're aiming to achieve. You don't need to be an expert to know which model to pick, because each one typically includes a description, giving you an idea of its strengths. Once you've chosen a model, the system seamlessly loads it, ready for you to interact with it right away. Another key feature is the ability to install new models. OpenWeb UI doesn't restrict you to the pre-installed models, which is great if you want to experiment with new or more specialized ones. Installing a new model is straightforward. You simply input the repository information or upload the model name. The system then integrates it into your workspace, making it available in the same way as the default options. This capability opens up a lot of room for customization and expansion, especially for users who want to try out cutting-edge AI models or ones specifically tuned for niche applications. As you begin to dive deeper, you'll find a wealth of customization options built into the UI. These are important for tailoring the behavior of the models or even how the interface itself responds. You can adjust parameters that control the length and the creativity of text generations or change how fast or slow responses come and configure resource usage if you're working on hardware with specific constraints. Each of these features, while advanced, is accessible through the clear graphical interface, which encourages you to explore without fear of breaking something. The combination of user-friendly design with technical depth gives you the freedom to get the results you want without needing to write any code. The combination of Ollama and OpenWeb UI serves to give you the complete AI experience directly on your own machine. If you found today's episode to be any combination of informative or entertaining, remember I'm mostly in this for the subs and likes, so I'd be honored if you'd consider subscribing to the channel and leaving a like on the video. And if you're already a subscriber, thanks! And be sure to check out my second channel, Dave's Attic, where you can find our weekly podcast that goes live every Friday at 4 p.m. If you have any interest in matters related to the autism spectrum, please check out the free sample of my book on Amazon, The Non-Visible Part of the Autism Spectrum. It's intended for folks that don't have a diagnosis, but who suspect they might have a few traits in common with the spectrum. It's everything I know now about living a great life on the spectrum that I wish I'd known long ago. In the meantime, and in between time, I hope to see you next time, right here in Dave's Garage.
Do it, Glenn! Do it!